Im Lavan Garti, in the beginning of the Parsha, Father Jacob, who is now returning home to the land of Canaan or Israel, sends a message. The messaging is meant to mollify, it's meant to mitigate, it doesn't really achieve its goal. And the message that he sends to Lavan, to Esav, who's coming to confront him with 400 murderous thugs, he says, Im Lavan Garti, I have dwelt with Lavan, Va'echar ad ota, and I have tarried up until this point. Peter Shrashi. Rashi says, what is the message? What did he tell him? What was it that Yaakov wanted to convey? Forget whether it worked or not. And part of Rashi's problem is that the word garti is an unusual word too. So he wasn't just telling him the facts, because Lavan knew the facts anyway. But besides this, he chooses a very unusual way to convey the facts. So Rashi, quoting our sages, he says, Im Lavan Garti, I dwelt or lived with Lavan, V'taryag mitzveis shamarti. That the word Garti can be scrambled. It's like a pun intended. It contains a secondary message. And the secondary message is that Garti scrambled is Taryag. Taryag is the numerical equivalent of 613. Tuf is 400. Resh is 200. That gives you 600. Yud is 10. Gimel is 3. Taryag, the same letters of the Garti, 613 mitzvahs I watched over. Obviously, he didn't do 613 mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs you have to be a king. Some mitzvahs you have to be a Kohen Gadol. Some mitzvahs you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Some mitzvahs you have to get married. Some mitzvahs you have to get divorced. Yaakov couldn't do all the mitzvahs. It's not humanly possible. Some mitzvahs are for our Kohen, some are for our Levi. The point was, shamarti. I didn't forget about the mitzvahs. I watched the mitzvahs. I guarded the mitzvahs. V'yidua adiyuk v'zeh. There's a known diuk. A diuk means a precise and exacting analysis. Halei medubar kan. We speak here, bepashtus, in a very straightforward, simplistic level. Like this Esav kipshutei. We're not talking about some kind of spiritual Esav. We're not talking about some kind of cosmic figure. We're talking about a monster, an evil man, a murderer, a rapist who's done all kinds of very bad things for a very long time. And this is not just Esav who has done bad things, but it's Esav kifi sheba im arba meis ish. Esav who arrives and he has the accompaniment of 400 men armed to the teeth, with baleful intent to kill. And it's lehilachim. They're coming for war. They will take no prisoners. So what are you sending him a message? When we zem moving from this all, it can be easily understood. She'etzel Esav lehayu choshev kol kach in kiyum ha-mitzvahs. Esav is not exactly the kind of person who is going to be overly impressed with the observance of mitzvahs. You kept mitzvahs, that's nice, Yaakov. Now you can be dead. What does he care? Why would that be the messaging? Of all the things that Yaakov can tell Lavan to try, Esav, to try to mitigate and mollify his anger, try in some way to inhibit his evil and his murderous intent, tells him Maisalach, tells him Baba Maisis about mitzvahs. Does he give a hoot for mitzvahs? Who are you talking to? In Eda Teira, and here the Rebbe puts in the brackets that Tfianid, it's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe with Agos, with the glasses and the notes of the Tzemach Tzedek, the Pidush HaPnimi, that the inner meaning of the words, of the messaging, Im Lavan Garti, who shagod in Bechinas Levan O'Elyon, that he doesn't really mean I lived with Lavan. He means to say that I have channeled a very, very supernal and lofty energy, which is called Levin. Levin means white. The white's the symbol or the color of purity that I have dwelt with, or I've been engaged with the highest levels of divine energy. Zeh im Lavan Garti, not I was with Lavan. Im Lavan Garti v'tayag mitzvah shemarti. Why are we talking about mitzvahs? Ki tayag mitzvahs nimshachim abchinis Levin elyon. Because the 613 mitzvahs come from a very deep and profound and pure place within divinity, which is called the supernal whiteness. So just as color is distinct and people can tell different things apart by virtue of color, as in the notion of color coding, so too white represents purity, an all-encompassing color, and therefore it represents an ideal, an idea, the spiritual ideal of divinity, as it's above the details of the mitzvahs. The details of the mitzvahs are like the colors, and every mitzvah has its flavor, and every mitzvah has its color. But the truth is that Levana Elyon represents a level of divinity which is beyond that. And it's from that level of divinity, from a very deep place within divinity, that the mitzvahs themselves come. In other words, the mitzvahs, as they express themselves, the mitzvahs as we know them, are expressions that are unique. Each one is different from the other. Each one has its flavor, each one has its mission, each one has its purpose. But where did the mitzvahs come from? And the answer is the mitzvahs come from a place that's transcendent of those differences. Those differences only develop later on. As the mitzvah expresses itself in this world, in the world that we live, that's where the details start to branch out. But at the root source of it all, at the root source, the mitzvahs are something that stir the deepest level within divine consciousness, something that's connected to Leuven Ha'elyon, to the notion of purity and oneness. It's a pure expression of divinity. For all of its parochialism and individualism and particularism and uniqueness of each and every mitzvah, eating matzah is not putting on tefillin, neither is lighting a Shabbos candle, and all of them have nothing to do, it would seem, with the mitzvah of kiddush or lighting or hearing the shofar. But nonetheless, all of it comes from a common source.
Interesting. It's a prism affecting white light.
Exactly. The prism affecting white light. Exactly, my friend. The white light contains all the colors, but its origin is white light. Precisely, my dear Watson. Precisely because Yankiv got past the prism and went to the white light. Precisely because he understood the essence of the mitzvahs. So tikkun as atzmei shehu b'chinas elu matikkun. He was able to rectify, perfect himself, because Yaakov comes from the world of balance and the world of perfection. With the world, and I will say this, as I've said it many times already, the word tikkun doesn't really mean fixing. Fixing is what it means in Hebrew, except that the word is not used in Hebraic syntax. It's used in Aramaic. In Aramaic, it means to fix, as in to perfect. Like a person could say, I'm going to fix my tie. What do you mean, fix your tie? Your tie's broken? No, it's kind of lopsided. I'm not fixing anything. It's not broken. I'm aligning it. I'm calibrating it. People talk about they're going to fix their makeup. What are you going to fix? Was it broken? You had a cracked makeup? No, it's whatever. They're going to fix. They're going to calibrate it. Make it right. Make sure that everything is interacting as it should. So this is Olam HaTikkun. Yaakov Avinu calibrated himself. He worked out all the kinks. Yaakov was perfectly, he had himself in perfect order. Shehu b'chinas Olam HaTikkun. This is the world of what we call perfect order. Ki zeis ha-Torah Adam, because it says, this is the Torah, Adam, a person. In other words, a person is a reflection of the entire Torah. U'chshem she-b'Torah. Just like in Torah, there are 613 individual forms of expression of divine commandments and opportunities for us to nurture that relationship with God, which all of this come from Levana Elyon. Kein hu ba'adam. The same is also ba'adam Elyon, sheyesh bayi, that it's kaviyachol, that God has ramach evarim the malka, that is these proverbial 248 limbs of the king, and shesagidim, 365 proverbial sinews and veins and so on and so forth, tendons. So just like we use this metaphor when we speak about God on high, and obviously there's no corporeality that's ascribed to heaven, chas v'shalom, and God has no body, and God has no limbs, and God has no tendons and no sinews, chas v'shalom. But it's a metaphor. So the metaphor translates the other way too. Ba'adam atachten, sheyeshnam boy tayag koiches. That the person has 613 abilities, 613 expressions of wherewithal, and those expressions, those abilities, that's what the neshama is comprised of, and ultimately that's what a human being is comprised of. This is what Yankov's message to Esav is. Esav, my dear brother, or maybe not so dear, but listen up. I know you have all these bad ideas. I know you're planning to do all kinds of terrible things. Listen, I want you to understand. Im lovan garti, I have spent the last 21 years immersed in trying to connect to the essence of divinity. to get not into the details, but to get to the source of it all. All the details were in place because Yaakov understood the source. So I've been connected to the source in the most profound way. And that filtered through and was actualized in real time because I actually kept or was engaged in the 613 actual mitzvahs. After Yaakov managed to be able to see past the obfuscation of the disparate nature of mitzvahs, to be able to go back into the white light, which imagine you're on the other side of the prism, you only see colors. Yaakov says, I went through the prism. I can get back to the white light. In doing so, he calibrated himself. So, now that I did this, now I can deal with you, Esav. Esav, I could never fix you. I could never calibrate you. Your wild energy was off the charts, and I was not able to deal with you. I didn't know how to make you right. But you know why? Because then I had to make myself right. But through all of the trials and tribulations of the last 2.5 decades, I have now made myself right. And in figuring out how to calibrate myself, I've reached the point where I'm now able to work on and help you calibrate yourself. I'll help you make peace with yourself. I'll help you figure out what it is you want and what you don't want and how to avoid the things that make you uncomfortable and embrace the things that actually make you happy. I figured this out. I can do this for you now. Val derech, this would be along the lines of k'sheit atzmecha, like the Mishnah says, first one should rebuke themselves. V'achar kach k'sheit achedim. Don't come and try to rebuke others when you have the same issue yourself. What would a person say to you? Oh, good morning. You want me to better myself in this area? Why don't you better yourself first? When you get your own issues worked out, then come to me, talk to me about my issues. You have your own issues to deal with. As they say, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So Yaakov says, I know you never wanted to listen to me. You said that I was a sissy and that I was unable to deal with life. And that I couldn't get past myself, and I was stuck in my own little world, and I didn't understand you. I get all that. So I want you to know that that's changed. And now that I calibrated myself, and now that I have myself in perfect working order, now, Esav, I'm ready to help you. I can help you save you from yourself. Now, Esav wasn't interested, unfortunately, but that was the message. That was the message. V'hine, ayedeze she Yankev mevares Esav. When Yankev is going to refine Esav. Yaakov also is not just trying to fix Esav for the sake of Esav. It's not just about doing Esav a favor. He understands that Esav has something enormous to contribute. Esav has these atmospheric energies that are attached to him. Esav is a buoyant individual. He's a person who is filled with incredible power. And if only Yaakov could harness Esav, he could be a better Yaakov, and the world would become a better place. So Yaakov is saying to Esav, let me help you, help yourself, so we can all be helped. This will make everything better. Hine yedua, behold, it's known, the Esav, shar shay ba'ilam atayu. Esav's source is in the proverbial world of chaos, which preceded the world of order. The Yaakov u'b'kinas oilam hatikun. But Father Jacob represents the idea of the world of order, the world of calibration. That's why Esav was actually born first. It's not only that he was born first, he came out of the womb first. Esav actually has a virtue, he has something special, he is ahead of Yaakov. His source is from the world of chaos. Shekodam, that comes before, not only in time it comes before, that in virtue it comes before. It's even higher than Olam HaTikun. So what am I talking about here? Just to fill everybody in case you don't know about this. According to the teachings of Kabbalah, when God first created the world, there was a world of chaos that was engendered. And the world of chaos was exactly like it sounds, very chaotic. And it didn't last. Eventually, the chaos simply blew itself to smithereens. And then God took a new world that was made of order of calibration. And the new world has the mission of taking the shrapnel, the sparks, from the old world that didn't last and fixing them. So Olam HaTikun, the world of order, is supposed to fix the world of chaos, the broken or fallen world of chaos. Why was there chaos? Why did God create chaos? What is that supposed to mean? So we talked many times about different soul powers. And in order for a person to have peace or equilibrium or even success, you have to be able to balance the different soul powers. Your desire to give is beautiful, it's wonderful, but it has to be balanced with an appreciation for the notion of discipline. If you give your children everything they ask for all the time, you will raise little monsters. You don't believe me? Go look and see. It happens all the time today. People have no discipline. Because they have no discipline, things are out of control. And because things are out of control, eventually, they simply explode. They collapse. It's not sustainable. So only kindness is not sustainable. Only kindness, if it's left to its own devices, eventually is giving sugar to diabetics, knives to children, and bombs to terrorists. Because you've been too nice. So they have to have discipline. But discipline can easily sink into the draconian. You can demand too much. Nobody can always do everything perfectly. As the scripture says, "Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yechta." A righteous person, a good person, is going to make mistakes sometimes. You can't have zero tolerance of mistake. You can't have one strike and you're out. Nobody would last. Everybody would collapse. It would be too intense. So there has to be a little leeway. So chesed has to be balanced by gevura, and gevura has to be balanced by chesed. The way I give has to be in a measured way. The way I discipline has to be with a sense of compassion, a sense of benevolence, a sense of kindness. I'm giving. That's why I'm doing things like that. And so on and so forth. So the first world didn't know from that. Chesed was chesed till the end, and no stopping. Nothing could stop chesed. And gevura was gevura until the end. And they did not have any kind of calibration between them. They couldn't get along. They didn't care about each other. So what do you think that's going to take us to? Where everyone is the only one. Nobody works together. Nobody cares what anybody else likes or wants. Only what I want, only the way I say, until the nth degree. It collapsed. But that world also had very intense fervor, intense energy. The energy of that chesed was much more intense than the energy of the chesed, of the kindness, of the giving of tikkun. The giving of tikkun was orderly. It was balanced. You have a need. I can help you. Fine, I'll help you. The chesed of Toyo is taking the shirt off your back. The chesed of Toyo is doing extraordinary kindness for people. But it's a wild world. It's a wild, crazy world. There was a famous figure in the Jewish world who was a tohu person. It's a tohu person. He didn't have any discipline. And therefore, he did wild things. There's a person, after he had a big event, he made a lot of money, he literally gave the whole check to somebody who knew he was needy. It's wild. It was like unbelievable chesed. But on the other hand, he also made himself comfortable. He's touchy fingers. And he would touch people inappropriately. Why? He was loving everybody. The problem. Too much chesed. Out of control. So it's amazing chesed. There's amazing energy there. But it's out of control. It's not. In the end, it's not appropriate. But what would happen if you could take that wild guy and you could harness him, make him somewhat normal? Not normal enough so that he loses his amazing energy, but normal enough that nobody else gets hurt. That would be amazing. You'll say, that's Mashiach coming. You're right. It is. That's when Olam HaTohu is made Olam HaTikun. So Esav is this world of Tohu. That's what his spiritual source is. And he is actually L'mailam Olam HaTikun. He is loftier, higher than the world of order. L'chein gam bizman hay Esav HaBachar. That's why Esav was even born first. Because he has greater virtues. That's what Yitzchak was looking for. Digging into Esav, desperately trying to harness and access and channel his incredible energy. The Tama Dover, and the reason for all this, Masha'ilum Atoyu, Ulamailum Ailum Atikun, the world of Tohu, transcends and is loftier than the world of Tikun. It says there was intense energy, but there was Kalim Mu'atim. There was very, very minuscule, or very limited kinds of envelopes. The envelopes were relatively small. However, the energy was great. So, what happens when you marry enormous amounts of energy in small breakers? The answer is it blows. So it blew. You have the wires that can only handle 110 volts and you're putting in 250 volts. What happens? The wire melts. The wire can't handle it. Why? Because the energy was simply beyond. So that's Olam HaTov. Amazing energy, very little ability to channel or harness it. The truth is that there was such an intense energy that even if you compare it to the any energy would be too small. You could have the thickest cable, but when you had an enormous surge of hundreds of thousands of kilowatts, anything is going to melt down. The fattest cable in the world is going to melt. So it wasn't that it was tiny little conventions, tiny little the envelopes. Anything was beyond. They're just limited, minimal kinds of envelopes. So basically what we're hearing is that Torah is an amazing world. Amazing energy. It's true, it was. Esav was. It's an amazing energy. This is what Yankov tells Esav in Lavan Garti. I have dwelt with Lavan. After I calibrated, after I worked on the order of the will of Tikkun, now I want to fix you also, Esav. Now I want to be able to channel, to access, and to harness the energy of Esav. Of course, it doesn't exactly work like that. But this is what Yaakov is trying to do. And the lesson that we can learn from this, on a very simple level of making things better, is when you see a person with wild energy, don't dismiss him. He's not a bad person. But if you don't have your own stuff in order, don't expect to be able to help somebody else get in order. So you need to have your own life in order. A person who has their life in order, a person who has their wits about them and their focus, and they're calibrated, they have their abilities are calibrated, then you can try to reach out to somebody who has amazing energy, energy that's beyond you. But also, that comes along with all kinds of other issues and problems. And then you can try to help and harness that individual. Because ultimately, when you help somebody else harness and channel their own wild energy, you benefit and the whole world benefits. And it's all about taming things, right? This is where the world is the place where wild things grow. So where wild things grow, it has to be tamed. And if we tame things, if we harness things, if we channel things, if we learn how to tame all the energy out there, imagine we learned how to harness solar energy. We learned how to harness nuclear energy. And we learned how to harness the power of natural generation in the full sense. So if we could harness all the energy that the world has to offer us, the natural world has to offer us, we'd be able to power ourselves, no problem. The problem is we're still burning fossil fuels. We're not harnessing the wild energies out there. Nuclear energy is too dangerous. Solar energy is too unpredictable. But this is the goal. Well, once we harness all that energy, once we figure out how to utilize the energy that's already available, but in a way that's healthy, then we can fix the world's problems. And this is true personally, and this is true cosmically, and all of this is learned, the lesson from antiquity, from how Yaakov Avinu but successfully calibrated and harnessed his own energy, and therefore wanted afterwards try to harness Esav's energy as well. And with this, we'll have to stop because we're out of time. Good Shabbos to all of our listeners and viewers. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should harness all the energy, and we should be zeicher to the coming of Mashiach b'mheira u'b'yimeinu amen. Shabbat shalom.